WHM, N4WHM, N4DJC, you're around, Bill.
I'm Jerry, how are you?
I can get finished with the conversation. How's everybody doing down your way? We read Gail's column this week, so she's back in business again, evidently.
Mom, pretty good. And yeah, I think she's finally back in the paper business.
Busy too with other things. I ain't heard you on in a while. At least when I did, I probably didn't have time to get up here and grab the mic in time.
The last couple, 3 weeks have been leading up to and the starting of school, so it's been a little crazy work schedule and working some extra hours, but that's about to draw to a close, and everybody's finally figured out where they're supposed to be and what they're supposed to be doing, so all the kiddies are happy at college now, I reckon.
The son-in-law's brother and sister, they have kids at Clemson, so they just got the, both of them moved into. His brother's got his brother's daughter, one of them just graduated this past year. She's working in Greenville. The other one started last week, so they seem to be moving them all down here. I read somewhere that they were going to let Stanford Stadium have full capacity. Was that just a hoax or something I read?
They're going to open the doors wide open, full capacity.
Lynn, I was just talking the other day. I was wondering if the governor of North Carolina was going to do something about that game in Charlotte. You know, they like to shut everything down there, so that'd be a big problem if they limited the amount of people in that stadium.
And I read an article earlier this week, I think it was, where LSU is going to require proof of vaccination to enter the stadium or a negative COVID test within 72 hours of the game. I don't know how they're going to pull that off.
Of course, they got a big outbreak down there, too. Lynn's brother, he's got a granddaughter that lives somewhere down in Louisiana, close to that area. It's just everywhere down there. They won't let people in to see folks in the hospital and all kinds of things going on. So that's going to be interesting to see how that works out, or if it does at all. Because I don't think they have a big higher vaccination rate either in that area.
It doesn't seem to be a very high vaccination rate anywhere, to tell you the truth. 50% seems to be pretty much the normal, and that's kind of sad.
Yeah, I know they kind of rushed it to get it officially approved, but we didn't have any reactions from it, so I think we can get our boosters about 8 months after our last one. I think our last one was around the 21st of March or somewhere in that area, so we won't be eligible to get our booster until sometime in late October or November, I guess.
It's about the same time frame on mine and Janice. I think we got ours mid-March. I think that's right. Mid-March, I believe it was. So somewhere mid-October, November, we ought to be eligible.
Big of a deal to me. We weren't that concerned about it because we got some Moderna. I think Lynn's arm hurt her a little bit the second time, but it was more or less where they jabbed her at. It wasn't as whoever did it the last time didn't do as good a job putting it in the right place in the arm, I think. That bothered her a little bit, but other than that, it wasn't a big deal. We didn't have any fever or anything like that. In fact, that's what everybody in the family got was a Moderna. None of us have had any reaction to it.
We ended up getting the Johnson & Johnson, the single dose. And so I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's So far, knock on wood, we haven't had any problems or had any issues.
I think it's just every individual is probably different and their immune system is different and that sort of thing. And some people it affects and other people it doesn't affect. But, yeah, it's just, I mean, if we have to start masking up again like they're talking about, I want to make sure to keep ours caught up. And it may, there was some, I was talking to a guy the other day that was pretty acquainted with how vaccines operate. And it's just really not exactly a vaccine in a normal sense like polio, but it, you know, said it will be a little different and it may not, it may be that you may not have to get it every year like they're saying, like some people are suggesting. But we did the flu vaccines too, so that's just, at our age, you just have to be careful for not having any type of respiratory problems.
Yeah, people don't realize how dangerous the flu is, or how dangerous it can be, rather. Especially if you have a compromised immune system, or just age, or just have bad luck. But, yeah, I've taken the flu shot since I was 18, since I first went through basic training, we got it, and every year after that, we would give it in the National Guard, and I just kept taking it after I got out.
And when you had the attenuated live virus, it would make some people a little ill, and it did me a time or two, but I started taking it back in the late 70s, and it bothered me a time or two, but I kept on taking it just because I was around so many people in that plant, it kept me from, I think I might have had it once or twice before then, and it was miserable. But since that time, I've been very fortunate. I don't think any of us, except my son might have had a case of it once, but he just gotten vaccinated. I don't think it was, I think he had it before the vaccine took effect, maybe. But we really haven't had any issues with it since then. It doesn't make it, it makes your arm a little sore. It's not like the pneumonia vaccines is the ones that, you know, really made my arm hurt. I think the second one did, and Lynn's was the same way, and the Shingrix. Yeah, the shingles didn't bother those vaccines, the new ones, they didn't bother us at all. It was just sore for a couple of days, you know, just at the injection site, and that was about it. But if you know anybody's ever had shingles, you sure as heck won't get that vaccine, because it is absolutely miserable for you know, people to have it.
Me and John both, after we turned 50, we had the shingles vaccine just as that precaution, because like I said, we've known people that have had it and sure don't want it, that's for sure. It looks to be miserable.
Had it when probably about 4 or 5 years before he passed away, and it was just awful. And you know, it just is a, you know, sometimes that pain just never goes away either. And I had a, you know, I caught a, evidently I had a case of it myself. It had a little spot about the size of a pencil eraser. And I had it, you know, since I'd seen it on my date, I have no idea what it was. I went straight to my dermatologist and he gave me the antiviral. And I caught it in time then, you know, he said, if you catch it within 72 hours, it went away in a matter of a few days. But then when the vaccine, you know, they always say if you've had it, so you don't need a vaccine. And Dr. Weissong told me, he said, you take it. He said, I don't care what they say. He said, you take both of them. It's just something you need to do. He said, because you never know. Your immune system, you know, gets weaker as you get older. And he said, it doesn't take much to. And I know people have had it 2 or 3 times over the years, too. So it's not a foregone conclusion. If you've had it once, you've got enough antibodies to keep that virus thing from popping back up again.
You get run down or get sick, and like I said, your viral load changes, and next thing you know, you don't know what's going to pop up, whether it's something else or the shingles or what. Body's a amazing machine. If it was made out of plastic and steel and plastic and everything else, but I reckon God knew what he was doing when he put us together, and as long as we take care of ourselves, we seem to do all right, but it's when we don't take care of ourselves, and I'm guilty of it as well, but we don't do as good.
I can sure attest to that. I've done pretty good the last 10 or 15 years, but a million years ago, I didn't pay much attention to what was going on. You know, it's one of those things, well, it's not going to affect me, but then when it does, you realize that maybe you should have been a little more cautious about taking better care of yourself.
The youth in us, I think we're bulletproof and 6 foot tall and living in a 2 foot world.
That's for sure. I guess you're not going to do any cooking today. As hot as it is, you probably need to fire up the big green egg. You'd probably throw something in it and leave it out in the sun.
Planning on cooking some chili dogs for dinner, and I was just sitting here. I'm out on the carport right now, and I'm looking at the car, and it's out in the sun, and I could probably set them on top of it and cook my hot dogs.
Started on tacos for this evening when they're out on the boat today, so they'll be heading back in here about 6 o'clock. They'll be wanting their tacos after the boat ride, stuff that they always do, so she's got it. She's working on getting it all fixed up now and starting to simmer it here in a little bit. But we had hot dogs the other day. We've eaten a couple times. I haven't put them out on the grill yet. I need to do that. They usually just boil mine, but I like them on the grill too when I can.
I'll take them about any way I can get them. I love a good hot dog with some chili and a little onion and Texas Pete. I love it. I like to, whenever we go to Anderson, I usually try to slip by Skins and let them fix me one. I enjoy theirs.
They reopened that one back behind Grady's. They reopened it a little while back. I didn't know they were doing it until you mentioned something to me about a few weeks ago, but they've got it open again now. It's got some outside dining and that sort of thing, and they were pretty busy the last time I went by there. I do like Skins. Of course, I like Varsity hot dogs too. I like Varsity slaw dogs better than I do the regular chili dogs.
I tell you, to get one now, you have to go all the way to Atlanta. The one in Athens closed about 6 weeks ago. They're going to build a shopping and apartment complex on that lot. And as they've been saying for years, they say they're going to rebuild out in Oconee County. But you just never can tell.
That was a tradition, you know, the one downtown. I know that Lynn's mother was telling me they didn't allow women to go inside. She'd have to sit in the car while when her dad went in and got hot dogs for them.
It's a different day.
I remember used to go with the one the drive-in went over there. Used to go with that one a good bit. And if I was close, when I was headed through Atlanta, I'd used to stop at one at Jimmy Carter. The one at Georgia Tech was too hard for me to get in and out of, but the one at Jimmy Carter was pretty easy to get in and out of. It wasn't right in the middle of it. It wasn't right at lunchtime or late in the day. But I'm really surprised that they closed them in Athens. That's kind of crazy.
Imagine it had something to do with dollar figures. There, I tell you, if you haven't been to Athens lately, they've built so many apartments and different things downtown now, it don't even look the same as it did 5 years ago. And if you take that and combine it with everything they built on campus in the last 15 years, it's a totally different place.
There's some time we were in Athens, probably 3 months ago, and met Lynn's brother. Since we all met there, brother and sister, we met there at the Olive Garden right there, just off 10, and just off the loop there. But we didn't go downtown or anything like that. But even then, I was amazed how much you know, coming from, we went through, you know, Royston that way, though, but, you know, we were amazed. I mean, how much stuff had grown as we were coming in there. It was just, just amazing to me. And that wasn't even the size of going. We didn't go through campus. We probably should have.
It built up a lot. You know, you had down there in Hull, you had that Ingles, and that was about it. And now it's, you got stuff all the way in to Athens Tech, and they're building, I think, a racetrack across from Athens Tech, or sort of across from it. But they're just continually building, and they've built so much downtown. They've built, I think it's 10,000 beds is what they've built downtown in apartment complexes in the last 5 years, or have come online in the last 5 years. So it's a whole different ball game. But Clemson's the same way. We rode through Clemson's campus about 6 weeks ago, and first time we've been on campus, I guess, in 10 years or better, maybe more. And it's grown up dramatically, that new business school and everything they got, and all the new family housing and all the different housing and bookstore. It's just everything's growing.
Yeah, we went through there. It's probably been about 5 or 6 weeks ago. We got there when we headed up of Valhalla, but yeah, I was really surprised. And we got our COVID shots there at the CVS there, but gosh, I can't remember when it was. Runs right there with them. I guess it's 123 runs through there. But I was amazed how much housing they've been building down there. We came back through campus, and we didn't recognize any of it. It's been so long since I've been through there. It's been years and years. We used to go to the baseball games up here once in a while, but the guys we used to go to baseball games with, they aren't able to go anymore, so we don't go up there. But we always went that way, and I was just amazed at how much it grown. And just, you know, no matter what time of day you went through there, just cars everywhere.
It's a growing place, and we come back 76 to Anderson, and even there in Seneca, they're building all kind of apartments and everything there, and it's just growing everywhere.
76 is if you haven't been up that way in a long time, it just looks like a different place. It's just growing from, especially, you know, from Pendleton to, you know, from Pendleton to Anderson. It's got a lot of business down there in that area. It's still, when you get past Pendleton, it's still a little sparse in a couple of spots, but, you know, then it just starts building back up again. And about the only place it looks different, doesn't look a whole lot different to me, Bill, is when you headed, when you go up towards Valhalla, getting off 123. It looks about the same. There's not a lot of growth headed up that way.
Through, it's been several months ago, but maybe closer to six, but I went up, jumped across on the interstate, and got off on first exit there in Carolina, and went up 11 to Clayton that way. And yeah, there's not much growing on that side of things, but you get over back toward Anderson, Clemson, Pendleton, that area, it's growing in a hurry.
I guess it's just location of property or what the deal is up there. But you can still find some properties that are pretty reasonably priced, but you're out in the middle of nowhere, though. You're not really close to anything. Unless you're head up towards Highland, all that stuff has gotten really expensive up in that area, especially the lots where you want to slide off the side of the hill if you build a house there.
It's, like I say, we were just up there camping a few weeks ago, and my nephew's got a couple of lots on the river right outside of Franklin and got some property behind him. He's building a big barn on, and the it's nice property, but he managed to get a good deal on it, but it's some of it up there is ridiculous, and like I said, some of it's so steep you'd slide off of it if you tried to stand up.
There's somebody trying to build a, look like one of those houses they use containers to build up there when you headed up towards Highlands from Walhalla. Right there used to be the Queen of Falls restaurant up there on the left when you headed up towards the Chattooga. Somebody on the right hand side of the road there used to be something there, but now I thought it was a storage thing, but they got some shipping containers up there. They got them, somebody got them stacked up, and it looked like they're building some housing up there. But yeah, they, like you said, there ain't a whole lot of room. If you step out the wrong way, you're gonna go. It's gonna be a while before you hit anything solid other than a tree.
It's mountain living is okay for me about two seasons out of the year, but in the winter and summer, it's not quite the best place for me. I don't enjoy floating down the river in an inner tube anymore, and I don't like it in the winter time. So I'll have to take it in the spring and fall.
Take a good bit in November and December, but yeah, I kind of had to pick when I went because it'd be nice down here, and it'd be snowing up there by the time I left, and the roads up there, they get slick in a hurry. It's at higher elevations. As twisty as they are, if you slide off that thing, they won't find you for a week.
Well, right there, there's still some curvy little roads up there. As much as they've upgraded them, they're still curvy little mountain roads. And you run off of them, they won't find you for a week.
Captain Franklin, is that what you did? You said you camped out?
Right outside of Franklin, you turn there at Franklin and turn to the right like you're going toward Highlands, and right there on the river about 4 or 5 miles out of town, a little place called Paradise Cove Road. That's where my nephew owns that property.
Where that is? Wow, that's some good property up there then. He got a deal on it. He got himself a gym.
He's got right at 5.5 acres, and he's got, I guess, probably 4 acres of it is behind the two lots, and then each little lot is probably between a quarter and 2/3 of an acre there on the river.
Prime property, that'll be, there's no telling what that'll be worth in 15 or 20 years.
It's he got lucky when he bought it a few years back, and like I said, he's cleared it off and got the main part cleared off and got his well and septic and sewer on it now, and fixing to start building a big pole barn to put stuff in. I'm going to make him a little place to put his camper under and different things like that.
Hey, Friday. Yeah, Bill, one of the things I found out, I investigated that some years, this been years ago. The thing about that is you either have to build it yourself. It's hard to get a builder to come up and do much. They don't want to build a small house, they want to build something huge. And it's hard to get to, and the building season is kind of short for them, so they don't do a lot of that. I think if you build a little bit at a time, I think that's the way to go with those properties. And I've seen some nice ones up in that area though, but it is some of the properties are just hard to. But one thing's hard to find a buildable lot, something you can put away alone, and sometimes you're just getting a pig in a poke. You don't know where you'll be able to put the house. Take some research to find the right spot.
Yeah, Jim. He's got his laid out. He's building a pretty good size barn shed combination. I guess it's, it's gonna be big. He was showing me how he's gonna lay it out, and it's probably 60, 70 feet long on one side and probably 35 feet wide, and then have the lean-tos off the side of that. And he's arguing with the building inspector right now about using timber, rough cut timber, for rafters and different things, and they're telling him they got to buy manufactured instead of, you know, stuff he can do with a sawmill, and so he's arguing with them about that right now.
Restrictions, they can be hard to deal with, and sometimes it's hard to find the right combination to suit them. One of my son's friends are building him. He's got a place out there toward Abbeville, and he's got 70 acres, I think, and he's working on stuff a little bit at a time, and he's got some, he's using steel on, some steel framing on his house, because it's easier to, one thing's easier to get up and put up, and another thing is it's straight, and then he's going back and putting natural materials on the outside and on the inside. Yeah, building stuff out of timber like that, if you use what's on the place or use sawmill stuff, they don't like you doing that. it's kind of odd. Some of those places they get stricter and stricter about what they let you put on a piece of property now too.
It's funny. We buy the property and then we let people tell us what we can do with it and how we have to do it and how we have to paint it and everything else. I don't understand some of these rules and regulations and HOAs and different things. I kind of like living in Hart County, where we can, at least in the county, where we don't have any of them rules. But there's a flip side to it. I like to at least consider myself free anyway.
We had a little tussle with them when we were trying to sell some of our property. They were trying to limit the size of the house we were going to build and that sort of thing. We were looking at selling it to, we could tell a buyer how much they could build on it. And we had to turn water down there and that sort of thing. It already had a well and a septic tank. But eventually, the people that actually changed hands another time after we sold it, and the people having that, they built a huge house on the property that is really suited to property. That's, I could afford to build a house the size that would go along with a piece of property that nice. They got like a five stall a garage, and got a big house there with a nice outdoor area and that sort of thing. I don't know, it's probably several thousand square feet, but they must have enough money to be able to run the water line. Went to a certain point, and I think Webb Tuck was going to run the rest of the way so you could hook up with it. And I think they must have run the rest of the way down there, because they built several big houses down there now. But I couldn't afford to build one down there. And at my age, I didn't want to live on the lake, because we'd already done that. Lynn's mother lived on the lake until they were in their mid-60s, that they had to move into town because they couldn't get to the doctors as easy.
Not living on the lake, there's a lot of people who have made Hartwell their permanent home since COVID. There's a lot of people that moved here permanently over the last 6 to 12 months that had second homes here and worked in Atlanta and figured out they could telecommute, and now they're just staying here.
That, by some of the prices I've seen for real estate there in the county, some of these places are asking $700,000-$800,000 for. I said, good gracious. I said, yeah, that looks like about a $300,000 place at best, but not $800,000.
Yeah, and people are paying it. What makes it so bad? But long as my neighborhood stays pretty stable, I'm happy. I like it out here off Laurel Drive, and it's a pretty nice little quiet neighborhood.
And Gerald Chiar.
Noon, Jerry. Bill. Well, Bill, I can tell you the secret to that. I've been investing in houses and lots.
I want to play Monopoly, but that's about it for me.
No, with the current trend, I've been investing in brothels and lots of whiskey.
Tango Mobile.
What?
I'm not sure who the other person is in there. I just caught a little at the end of his, but anyway, good afternoon. Had to go work at the church today, open the church, and then close it up after a funeral was held there today. Came over here to Publix, got me a nice piece of fried chicken. I'm going to take it home, have some steamed corn, and I'm going to have, that'll be my lunch supper. How about that, Tom?
Pretty good. I just took my Michelob Light and some homemade ham salad on Ritz crackers, and he was out there mowing the grass and about to die, and he really appreciated the break, and I just had some of that homemade ham salad, and it's good with that four-year-old Wisconsin cheddar cheese. But anyways, Bill, that's your tip of the day about investing.
Looked pretty good investment to me. That's one good way to invest anyway.
Trees are popping up everywhere. go ahead, Jerry.
Drink one of those Michelob Lights over my way. I don't think I've got any. I drank one beer the other day. That's the first one I've had in a long time. But I think I'd invest in a pot shop is what I'd do. Just be done with it. Go totally off the deep end.
Be a body shop for cars or a body shop for people that you would invest in? W2T.
Pot shop, marijuana shop. Just go ahead and have me a bud shop. That people, everybody I know would disown me.
That's the way the trend's going, though, Jerry. That's that makes sense. There's one up on Wade Hampton now, I noticed, down here in Taylor's by Walmart. They call it a pharmacy. shoot. Well, anyways. Bill, Chad mentioned last night that on the net that the insurer liked to have a piece of that peach pie I was eating, so Bernice just made him one, and we took it up there this morning and give it to his wife.
K5WLL. 4WHM. Well, I'm almost jealous there, Tom.
Yeah, I'm wondering when Tom's going to bring one of those over to my house and all. He's trying to make all of us jealous.
Well, Chad's only 5.8 miles over, Rusty. You're clear across the state. acknowledging the other call. Go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. This is K5WLL, Leroy here. Y'all was talking about pot. There's a farm up just north of Traveler's Rest off of 25. The greenhouses, I think, they, for medical reasons, they're over.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, they've got one up here, up above us, too, in Anderson. I think Danny Ford was growing it, or somebody was, somewhere up in the area. Anyways, it's a hemp farm, so I guess similar, same thing, close to it. Yeah, Tom, you could just air mail me one of those slices of peach pie. That'd work out for me well, too. And I could, matter of fact, just send the whole pie, and I'd take half of it, and I could run it on over to Bill.
I bet he'd never see it. What do you think, Rusty?
Definitely wouldn't.
We get out of here. Y'all have a good day. And 73 to all around, K5WLL.
Okay, Leroy. Nice to meet you, sir. K5WLL and 0TR. Go ahead, Bill.
I'm still having visions of peach pie right now, so I'm thinking homemade vanilla ice cream, and it just got me daydreaming. M4WHM.
You're not, Tom, but I'll pick it up, and I was down in a little hole again, this little hole over here I get in. And now see what you've done, Tom. Now you've got people thinking on food and ice cream, pie and ice cream and all that stuff. And you're not sharing with us. You know, that's the bad part about it.
Yeah, Jerry sent it over to you. You done fine, Rusty. Well, Bill, Bernice said to tell you we got that too. There's homemade ice cream down in the freezer. She makes it and freezes it.
Any better, Bernice? And you're not helping by relaying, Tom.
You want to get my old crank one out and put a little rock salt and some ice on it and get some egg and brand condensed milk and get some peaches and put that in with it. Just got to get somebody that's got enough strength to turn the handle for about 2 hours.
To do that, I'd make sure I had one of those powered ones, not arm powered, but electric powered, and let that sucker go to work. And I'll tell you what, Tom's trying to make us all feel miserable this afternoon, because he knows he's got the ice cream, he knows he's got the peach pie there, and he knows, you know, that all he has to do is ask nicely, and Bernice will fix him up a slice of pie and a scoop of ice cream on top of it, and then he'll sit there and really rub it in. Won't you, Tom?
Well, Bernice said to tell you, Rusty, we're having, she said barbecued ribs out there in the smoker all day, I know, before we ever went up to Chaz, and then she's over there now, battering fried zucchini and onion rings. And I imagine there's going to be some baked beans in there, Mom.
Yeah,
but unfortunately, Bill, she only cooked a half a rack, so you might as well stay at home.
On my hand.
Car around and head that direction.
Come out when you start heading this way. Just tell me where.
If she makes about as far uptown as you can get. Now, Mr. Phil, W4NGU, he went to school over there, Rusty, in Georgia the other day for 2 whole days learning how to make barbecue.
Yep, those are nice schools, if you can afford them. And because they ain't cheap. And Bob went to one of those here recently, too. So, anyway, while I'm getting home, I'm going to go inside and start steaming my corn and get this and get my clothes changed, because I'm still dressed up kind of nice. I went nice today since I was going over there for the funeral. And then I'm going to have my chicken breast and my steamed corn, and that's going to be my lunch supper. I'll catch all of you later. And Tom, like I said, I'll be over there to get my peach slice of peach pie in just a little while. W2T clear.
Go ahead, Bill.
Good talk to you. Well, gentlemen, I'm going to step out of here as well. I've been going to get off the radio and go in the house for about 2 hours now, but hadn't made it, so I'm going in. So go see if I can find me a bologna sandwich or something. You know, got to cure this hunger I got now.
Hey, good talking to you. Hope everybody continues to do well. Tell Jen and Angie and Gail, I said hello. Lynn, I said hello. Tom's got me. I got to jump out now. Tom's got me going there where I'm actually going to start foraging to see what I can find in the refrigerator down here.
I guess it ran everybody off. They're getting hunger pains. Well, I had Bernice and I split a bottle of that Michelob Light in a frosted glass with some of that cheese and crackers and ham salad, and so I'm doing all right. But I'm starting to smell that barbecue. I'm about ready, Jerry. You guys have a good day, and we'll talk to you down the line. I'm sitting here cutting blood pressure pills and half lisinoprils. 73 skies, and keep your powder dry. This is N0TR clear.
I'm 73, Jerry. Y'all have a good one. That's M4WHM. I'll be clear.
73, Bill. M4DJC. You guys have a great afternoon. Talk to you later.
TRK4OIM.
I can't stay very long. I'm supposed to be going over there to help Bernice. That's why I was signing off. How you doing? Did you get that mobile fixed? Boy, it was terrible the other day. I didn't mean to be rude or nothing, but that's the only way I knew how to describe it.
I did. The my connection was loose, and I went back out there once I got home to see what was wrong, and I pulled on the mic, and the mic came unplugged. I haven't tried it since because I hadn't been anywhere. But the reason I came back to you was, did you stick around on the net last night for the right you portion?
No, sir, I didn't.
Went over Chaz today. Did he say anything about Larry, KK4, MJB, and I roasting him last night?
Mary, and what else did you say, Walt?
Dan, and you told him you had Bernice had cooked him that peach pie. He said, all right, Tom, quick as I close the net down and send my net report, I'll put my britches on, and I'll come on over there and get him. Well, after he went to write you, I went back to him. I said, Chad, I don't know what to say. He said, all right, well, what you mean? I said, the net was over, you was going to put your britches on and come over there and get that peach pie. He said, yeah. I said, well, I think besides Howard Stern and you, y'all the only two I know of that's been on the radio broadcasting without any clothes on. I embarrassed the crap out of him, Tom. Larry come back in there and told him, said, all right, Chad, I think Walt just initiated you into the NCS club, Tom. Chad didn't know what to think. He said, it's my house, it's paid for, and it's my chair paid for, and if I come home and worked all day, and I want to walk out around the house nude or in my underwear because the kids are all gone and in college. It's my business. I said, yeah, but calling the net in your underwear, I just don't know what to think, Chad. He got away with him so bad he didn't know what to think, Tom.
Yeah, you kind of got his goat there, I'll bet you. Yeah, I heard him mention you wanted that peach pie, and Bernice did too. We were sitting there, and we said, we'll just make him a peach pie and take it over there. But I got to tell you, well, that's the first time I've been over there. And to be quite honest with you, if he went outside and walked around within about a block radius there in his birthday suit, there'd be no one to complain. As we said back in Kansas, he lives out in the boonies.
About the way Steve, KF4BWA, is over there. He's always saying he can walk out on the porch and in his underwear and all, and nobody would see it, but somebody said on Facebook the other day, said if you go out on your front porch and take a leak and your neighbors can see you, your neighbors are too close, Tom. Well, I'll let you get back in there and help Bernice with them ribs. Boy, they smell good. I can smell them all the way up here to Lake Robinson, Tom. N0TRK4OIM. I'll be clear on your phone, Tom. And tell Miss Bernice I said hello.
K4OIM in 0TR. Okay, Walt, you have a good day. And it's hot out there, 90 and 95 degree heat index. And I haven't been up to VWA's place, but I know about where he lives up there. But Chad's real close. He's 5.8 miles, not very far at all. We just wanted to get out for a ride. You know how that is nowadays. You don't go anywhere. You take care. K4OIL in 0TR, 73 is now be QRT.